Welcome to Shir Svarno, Parshas Vayigash. We had mentioned when we started learning the Svarno that the Svarno was a doctor. He was a medical doctor in addition to all of his commentaries, or maybe he was primarily someone who was a Talmud Chacham, was a Posek, Paskin. He wrote these commentaries on the Chumash, other Svarim. But among his other accomplishments, he was also a medical doctor. Again, like many of the Rishonim, we find the Rambam, the Ramban, who were medical doctors as well. And insofar as he was a medical doctor, he has an interesting insight into the reaction of Yaakov Avinu when the children come back, when the Shvatim come back from Mitzrayim, and they tell him that Yosef is still alive. So this is Perek Memhei, Pasuk Chavov. They came and they told him, Od Yosef Chai. Yosef is still alive. And indeed, he is ruling over the entire land of Mitzrayim. Again, we'll see the different ways to translate the word Vayofog, which is the salient word in this pasuk. But one way to translate it is his heart stopped by Yafog Libo, Kilohem in Lohem, because he simply didn't believe what the Shvatim were telling him. The Svarno writes on this pasuk as follows: by Yafog Libo, his heart stopped. Nis Aleif, he literally fainted. Right, not just that his heart stopped in a sort of colloquial metaphoric sense, but literally he fainted. And the pounding of his heart and his breath diminished somewhat from what it had been previously, as is indeed the case when a person faints. Midagas libo bahaskirom es Yosef. He was so worried when they mentioned Yosef. In other words, the way the Svarno seems to understand it, the Shvatim went to Yaakov and they told him, Od Yosef Chai. And before they even got to the word Chai, that he's still alive, the minute they said the words Yosef, it had such an impact upon him that he literally fainted at that particular time. Again, there's a tremendous danger, as we'll see in a few moments in the Svarno, a tremendous danger that the brothers had to reckon with. On the one hand, they want to break him the good news. On the other hand, they don't want to break him in the process of breaking him the good news. Ruach Yaakov lo avda rucho acharkach kishehemin kimo sheyikre beis hasimcho hapisomis hamemiso b'tzeis ruach achiyuni alachutz. And the Svarno then says a fascinating thing. He says, initially, Yaakov didn't believe the brothers when they told him that Yosef is still alive. It was just too much for him to comprehend. So says the Svarno, it was that lack of belief that Yaakov had that actually saved him. Because says the Svarno, we know that when a person experiences a very sudden piece of news, even if it's a very sudden piece of good news, the sudden change where he has to absorb all of a sudden this new piece of information, even this wonderful piece of information, that itself, says the Svarno, can be a cause of death. So the skepticism that Yaakov had when hearing that Yosef was still alive actually tempered the news somewhat, so he was able, after a few moments, to absorb the fact that Yosef was still alive. And because he was able to absorb that information gradually, not in one fell swoop, that saved his life, says the Svarno. It's interesting, this, if you recall, the Svarno had similar comments way back in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, when the Svarno talks about how a sudden change in climate can be very detrimental to a person's health and can even kill the person. The Svarno notes that after the Dor HaFlogo, after the generation of the dispersion, so we find that the lifespans of people drop dramatically. There's a major drop-off before, you know, after the Mabul, after the flood, people's lifespans dropped dramatically. There's another major drop-off after the Migdal Bavel, after the Dor HaFlogon. So why is that? So says the Sfarno, because with the dispersion, people ended up in all of a sudden in very, very different climates that they were not used to. And the sudden change in climate has a terrible, terrible impact on the person from a health perspective. And that led to the diminishing of lifespans that happened at that particular time. So too, anything sudden, says the Sfarno, is very detrimental from a health perspective. Yaakov Avinu, had he believed right away that Od Yosef Chai, it might have killed him right there on the spot. So, Vayofog Libo Ki Lohem in Lohem, the fact that his heart stopped somewhat because he didn't believe them. In other words, the fact that he didn't die is because he didn't believe them. The fact that there was only a partial cessation of his heartbeat, a fainting, but nothing more than that, that ultimately was because he didn't believe them. And then he adds to that insight the following also very, very fascinating insight. The Pasuk in Chof Zayin goes on to say, Vayidabru Elov, Eis Kol Divrei Yosef Asher Diber Aleihem. The brothers spoke to Yaakov and they shared with him all of the things that Yosef had said to them. So what were those things that Yosef said to them? So, you know, I think if we were imagining what the story was like, we would imagine that, they shared with Yaakov all of the wonderful positive things that Yosef had to say. I mean, there was a lot there that was very positive. Says the Sfarna, you know what they told over from Yosef to their father? The fact that Yosef said, Va'od chamei shanim asherin chorish v'kotzir. Guess what? Not only have there been 2 years of famine so far, there are going to be another 5 years of famine in the future. That was the one thing that you picked out from everything that Yosef told you? In other words, you couldn't think of anything nicer to say to Yaakov? You know, Shalom Aleichem, a message from Yosef. Another 5 years of famine. Why are you doing that? So he says, Kidei la'arev bedvar ha'besora ezo daiga. The brothers wanted to make sure that Yaakov wouldn't be too happy. Because again, if Yaakov was overly happy in a very extreme way, so that could kill him. So they wanted to share good news tempered with some not so good news. Yes, Yosef is in Mitzrayim, he's still alive, that's wonderful. But he also told us there are going to be another 5 years of famine. And presumably the only way we could escape that famine is to pick up and to relocate to Mitzrayim, which was we spoke about last night, was really the last thing that Yaakov Avinu wanted to do. So good news and not such good news. And because of that, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov, the spirit of Yaakov was revived, Nirpa min ho'iluf hakodem, he recovered from the fainting episode which he had a few moments prior, Bahadrogas hasimcha im hadaiga, by being able to combine in a gradual way the happiness together with the worry and the concern for the future. It's a fascinating explanation. If you would ask me without the Sfarno, I would say the more good news you could share with somebody, the better off that person is going to be. But the Sfarno, and again, presumably the Sfarno is speaking from his medical experience. The Sfarno is saying sudden shifts are not helpful for people. A person should make any kind of shift that he engages in gradually. And even a sudden shift where a person is suddenly given overwhelmingly good news, it's not a healthy thing for the person. The person should be given some good news and some bad news. The person should have a certain equilibrium in terms of the information that they're absorbing. Otherwise, the same way you could get a shock from terrible news, you can have a shock from incredibly wonderful news as well. Very, very interesting perspective, and I guess applying it, I can't really speak to the medical aspect of things, but certainly from the perspective of Avodas Hashem, it speaks to the idea that jumping too much, running to an extreme too fast, is never a healthy thing. Always the gradual approach is always better. The Sfarno is saying from a health perspective, the gradual approach is always better. I think it's fair to say from a spiritual approach as well, the gradual approach, you know, not to take on too much too soon, is also a very, very healthy thing. Yesterday we saw how Yaakov Avinu was reluctant to really to set up shop in Mitzrayim. Even when he spoke about going down to see Yosef, the Sfarno says his intent was to go to see Yosef and then come back. Elcho ve'er'enu b'terem omus. I'll go down and I'll see him before I die. But after I see him, I'm going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised me Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, when he goes down and he stops off in Be'er Sheva and offers up korbanos to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he offers them to the God of his father Yitzchak, says the Sfarno, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yitzchak, don't go to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu was hoping to tap in to that message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given his father, don't go to Mitzrayim, just as your father didn't go to Mitzrayim, you shouldn't go to Mitzrayim. And basically, as we saw last night, the Ribbono Shel Olam appears to Yaakov Avinu, and he tells him, what I told your father is not relevant for you. Your father, Taka, shouldn't have gone to Mitzrayim, and he didn't. But for you, the right thing is to go down to Mitzrayim. Why? Because at this point in Jewish history, the best thing for the Jewish people is to go down to Mitzrayim, where the Egyptians are incredibly opposed to the Jews intermingling with the Egyptian population. We saw in last week's parsha, the Egyptians don't allow the Jews to eat with them. They have to eat at separate tables. So there isn't going to be intermarriage that will take place if the Jews go down to Mitzrayim. They will be melamed shahoyu Yisrael mitzuyonim sham, as we say in the Haggadah. Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim are mitzuyonim. They're set off. They're apart from the general population. We spoke about last night the famous Maimer Chazal. They didn't change their language. They didn't change their dress. They didn't change their names. They stayed apart. And therefore, it's a positive thing for Klal Yisrael at this point in their history to go down to Mitzrayim. You should go down to Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Perek Memvav Pasuk Dalet, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim, I will go down with you to Egypt, Va'anochi Alcha Gam Olo, and I will lift you up as well from Mitzrayim. The simple pshatim, Alcha Gam Olo, means that at a certain point, I will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. We make Yiridah, we go down to lands other than Eretz Yisrael. We make Aliyah, we go up and we go back to Eretz Yisrael. So, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim, I will go down with you to Egypt, Anochi Alcha Gam Olo, and I'll go back up with you to Eretz Yisrael when all of this is done. That's the simple pshat. But it seems like the Sfarno is bothered by the repetition of the verb la'alos, to go up. A'alcha gam olo. I will go up with you and I will also go up with you. What's meant by that repetition? So the Sfarno says very beautifully, Achar she'alev otziacha misham. When I take you out from Mitzrayim, when all of this is over, you know, in other words, when the Jews ultimately will leave Mitzrayim with Moshe Rabbeinu, tosif mailo. You will go up a level from what you were before you went down there. Ka'amro, as the pasuk says, Ula ha'aloso min ha'aretz sahi el eretz tova. When the Ribbono Shel Olam was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu by the sneh, by the burning bush, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the plan is to bring them up to Eretz Yisrael, to a goodly land. That's Alcha Gam Olo. I will bring you up physically, but I will also bring you up spiritually, because you will have gained by going through the experience in Mitzrayim. And here you get a little sense of the idea, which other Mefarshim talk about, and seems to be a simple pshat in a pasuk in Devarim, that the Mitzrayim experience, as terrible as it was on the one hand, was also an incredibly formative experience for Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk in Devarim describes it as the Kur HaBarzel, the smelting pot in which the iron of Klal Yisrael is created. It was a terrible experience, but like many terrible experiences, you know, if we survive it, we come out better for it. And Klal Yisrael came out on a higher spiritual madrega, a higher spiritual level, than when they had gone down to Mitzrayim.
Right, right. But it's not a contradiction to say that they were, you know, steeped in tumah, but yet the overall experience raised them up to a better place. In other words, the fact that they had to sink so low, right? If you ask a Breslover, right, the Breslover will tell you the best way to go up is to go down. Right? In other words, the best way for a person to experience, I don't think you have to be a Breslover to say like that, but they'll certainly say like that, best way to experience the spiritual elevation is to find oneself in a very, very difficult, dark place. And through finding ourselves in that dark place, both physically and spiritually, but having the wherewithal to pull ourselves out from it. Remember, you know, Klal Yisrael rejected, in the last moments that they were in Mitzrayim, they rejected Avodah Zarah. They shechted the god of the Egyptians. They engaged in bris milah. In other words, they were in a low place, but they took efforts. They made ma'amatzim at the very, very end of their stay there, and they picked themselves up. And you know, when you pick yourself up out of the depths, so you reach great heights. You know, so that's Klal Yisrael had that experience. Alcho gam alo, I'm going to pick you up, not only physically but spiritually as well. You'll come out on a higher madrega when you leave Mitzrayim. So that apparently convinces Yaakov Avinu. And the Pasuk says, Pasuk Kei, Vayokom Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov rose up from Be'er Sheva. Vayisu v'nei Yisrael es Yaakov aviyam. And the B'nei Yisrael carried Yaakov, their father, in the wagons that Paro had sent to bring them down to Mitzrayim. So we're so used to the term B'nei Yisrael that we forget that in this context, it doesn't mean B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, the nation. It means literally B'nai Yisrael, the children of Yisrael, the children of Yaakov. But again, it's striking. So the Pasuk starts off talking about Yaakov. I guess Hank, if you like the shir. So the Pasuk starts off talking about Yaakov. Vayokom Yaakov mibe'er sheva. Vayisu B'nai Yisrael. It's Yaakov Aviyam. So, you know, again, we're Yaakov, we're Yisrael, we're Yaakov again. Why the jumping back and forth? So remember, the Sfarno Shita about the names Yaakov and Yisrael are as follows. Yaakov means the one who survives, the one who is still there holding on to the heel. When everything is over, he's still there, right? So that's Yaakov, that's the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, that all of the other nations of the world ultimately are going to be destroyed, but Klal Yisrael is going to be everlasting. They're going to stay until Yemos HaMoshiach and beyond. So Yaakov is a survivor. Yisrael is a victor, is a sovereign nation, a nation that is Soriso im Elokim v'im Anoshim, who can struggle against angels, against God, against man. You know, he can struggle and be victorious. It's much more of a description of power and strength as opposed to the resilience to be a survivor. So with those two ideas in mind, let's take a look at the Sfarno here. It says, Vayisu v'nei Yisrael, Shehoyu tzrichin mikan vo'elech liyos am v'nei Yisrael, listorerim Elohim v'im anoshim hamiskomimim, Belechtom ato lad masnecha. It's not enough for Klal Yisrael when they go down to Mitzrayim to be survivors, to get through it. They have to fight. They have to have that power to fight back, to stand up against those who will try to push them down. They need to have. They did not fight physically against the Egyptians, but they fought spiritually against the Egyptians. The Egyptians tried to beat their spirit, you know, to destroy them. And Klal Yisrael, as much as on many levels, they were not successful in fighting back. Again, they fell into the 50th level of Tumah. But in certain ways, they were successful in trying to beat back the influence of the Egyptians. And that's the Bechina of Yisrael, as opposed to Yaakov. Not just to survive, but to fight back on a spiritual level. But they carried Yaakov Aviyam. Meaning what? Why is he called Yaakov? Shebelechto es el simchoso zos asher ein achareha tugo. Yaakov Avinu, says the Sfarno, had just passed the last test of his life. This was the last test of his life, to see if he could make his way through the difficulties involved with Yosef. He had now passed all of the tests of his life. He had dealt with Esav, he had dealt with Lavan, he had dealt now with Yosef. And now, from here on in, life was going to be pleasant. In other words, Yaakov on an individual level had survived. He had made it to the end. So that's why the children representing the next generation, they're Yisrael. They can't merely be survivors. They have to prepare themselves to fight for maintaining their Yiddishkeit in a difficult situation. But the man, Yaakov, the old generation, he's survived. He doesn't have to fight anymore. He can, in a sense, he can sit back, not to take it totally easy, but he can take it a little bit easier at this point in his life, because he's made it to the end. He's survived the difficulties that have been thrown his way. Again, just to read it in the Svarno. Shibalechto el simchoso zos asher in achare hatuga. As Yaakov Avinu goes to this happy moment where there will be no difficulties and hard times afterwards. Achar she'avru olav, kol hatzaros she'avru. Whatever happened, happened already. All the tzaros have already passed over him. Horo mashiyikru lo be'okev uva'achris hayomim. So the pasuk over here hints a little bit at the way Klal Yisrael, in the end of days, is going to have that satisfaction of having survived. And that's, he says, that's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. We read it the very second day of the year, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Ranu liYaakov simcha. Rejoice, cry out for Yaakov that he has experienced simcha. And there, Klal Yisrael, at the end of days, in the time of the Achris Hayom, in the times of Mashiach, is referred to as rejoicing as Yaakov. Why? Because he's survived. He's made it to the end. The survivor who makes it to the end has the right to rejoice. So here too, the person is Yaakov. He's made it to the end. The next generation going forward is Yisrael, because they have their work cut out for them. They and their descendants are going to have to fight for the right to maintain Yiddishkeit in this difficult land. The Torah then lists the children of Yaakov Avinu and some of their own children. Pasuk Ches, Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael Haboy Mitzrayma. And we get a list of the 70 souls, it's actually 69 souls, who were coming down with Yaakov Avinu to Mitzrayim. Why is it that the Torah sees fit to give us this list of everyone who came down? Why is that important to us? Just tell us. There were 70 people who came down with Yaakov Avinu to Mitzrayim. I need to know their names. What? I'm working for the border police. I mean, why do I need to know the names of the people who were coming down with Yaakov Avinu? So the Svarno over here in Pasuk Ches presents a yesod, a basic idea which he repeats other times in his commentary on Chumash, and that yesod is as follows. Haru'uyim b'chol eile. All of these people who are mentioned are mentioned because they are fit. She'e nechshav kol echad mehem v'nodo b'shem ishi. The fact that they are singled out by name means that they have a certain stature, that they have a certain importance. And that particularly refers to Yaakov and his children. In other words, if you look at the pasuk in Ches says, "Ve'ela shmos b'nei Yisrael haboyim Mitzrayim, Mitzrayma, Yaakov uvanov." These are the names of b'nei Yisrael who are coming down to Mitzrayim: Yaakov and his sons. That phrase seems to be superfluous. Yaakov and his sons. We know, the pasuk is going to go on to list all of the sons. So what's Yaakov uvanov? So Yaakov and his children, the Shvatim, are on a different madrega. They're worthy of being mentioned by name specifically. And then the Torah goes through the names of the children of Yaakov's children. Sha'ar shivim nefesh, afal pi shahayu tzadikim lo'olu l'maylas eila. The other people who are mentioned are also chashuv. To get your name mentioned in Chumash means that you're of a certain madrega, you're of a certain caliber. But there's still a distinction between the 12 Shvatim, whose names are mentioned not only over here, but are mentioned on the Choshen, mentioned on the Avnei HaEfod. They have a certain stature that they possess, versus the children of Yaakov's children, who are mentioned here in Parshas Vayigash. So obviously they are tzaddikim, that they merit to be mentioned in the Chumash itself. But the fact that they're only mentioned over here means that they're not quite on the madrega of the sons of Yaakov. In contrast, the sons of Yaakov are mentioned not only here, but they're mentioned again, as we know, the beginning
of Sefer Shmos, where the Shvatim are mentioned once again. The more you're mentioned, the more choshev you are. That seems to be the idea that the Sfarno was putting forward. And the mere mention of a person in Chumash, again, unless we're told specifically that they're a Rosh, I mean, the Rishai mentioned in Chumash as well. I don't think the very fact that you make it in, you know, that Esav should rejoice, let's say, for, you know, being mentioned in Chumash. But if you're mentioned without comment, in other words, just your name made it in, that in itself is an indication that the person is of a certain madrega, a certain level, that they merited to be mentioned in the Chumash itself. We'll pick over here, up over here, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratza.